Welcome, and thanks for coming to today's broadcast. Today I want to look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, where the following is written. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. What we find in this passage is something where Paul, the writer of the book of Philippians, basically admits that it's a sacred duty and privilege for him to abide in Christ. He does this by saying that he basically follows after this apprehension that he has of Jesus and that Jesus has of him. And in doing this, he talks about more or less a life of unbroken fellowship with the Savior. Now, for you and me, such an unbroken fellowship with the Savior is something unique. It's not always talked about in Christian circles. And it's something that many people think is for elite individuals who eventually become quote-unquote saints. But this is not the point that Paul's trying to make with this verse in Philippians. He's trying to encourage us to believe for this particular situation as well. It's not just something that's only for the elite or the unusual Christians who have a special grace, but it's for each one of us. Each one of us are supposed to, by divine appointment, be completely occupied with being a child of God in such a way that we apprehend this abiding in Christ with every moment of our life. And this is what is more or less the encouragement that Paul's trying to give here. Now, we know that this whole idea of abiding in Christ on this superior level sounds like something that just doesn't fit us because we're so weak and feeble, we don't really have faith for the big things. But that's where the encouragement comes in. It's something where we just need to understand that by simply entrusting ourselves to Jesus, the one who apprehends us, we can apprehend the things of God a lot more readily and available. So it's a matter of being faithful to him and trusting in him to complete a work that he's already begun in us. And it's one of those reminders that true abiding in Christ is not a work that we have to do as a condition to enjoy our salvation or anything like that, but it's something that is more of a consenting of letting him do things through us. It's experiencing the true working out of our salvation that God himself imparts to us every moment of our lives. So this is what we're really being called to. In reality, our part is simply to yield and to trust that God is doing something in us and then let it work its way out. This is the focus of today's message, to basically trust him to keep us. Now, it's an ongoing process whereby which we react to faith and do the things that we're supposed to do and recognize that in our doing of good works and doing corporal works of mercy and keeping the commandments of God, that those are all manifestations of a grace of God working in us. And it's in this quiet expectation of confidence that we're able to truly rest in Christ as a branch rests in a vine, and finds that the vine itself is what keeps us abiding to him. It's something that many Christians fail to realize because they still see their struggle against sin as their struggle against sin and not as their abiding in Christ as being the victory. And this is something that many people need to basically change their focus to be able to realize. We don't go to Mass to receive a underscript blessing. We go to Mass because we're abiding in Christ and receiving from him what we need every day for our individual salvations And that's what gets worked out. Because when we truly get an idea that he's the one that's doing the work, and that we are merely cooperating with him when we give drink to the thirsty or food to the hungry or shelter to those that are homeless, that's the real blessing that comes in. We need to see that Jesus Christ himself offers himself as your keeper, your protector, your surety for all salvation. And that he does this because he doesn't sleep or get weary. He keeps you with all of his power and love, because that's his abiding presence in you through the Holy Spirit. Once we get this idea of grace, it helps us really get into understanding how the work of basic conversion is a work that God continually does in us every day. It allows us to experience the pardon of God as a true manifestation of grace, and helps us develop an attitude of gratitude, as a preacher once said, which is key to our having a healthy relationship with the God that we serve. Because we recognize that our work in living as Christians is merely to abide and cooperate and manifest what we understand is the reality. We stop looking at commandments that say, honor your father and mother, or don't steal, don't commit murder, or don't commit adultery, in the sense of something that we ourselves are engaged in the struggle with. But we see that as ways in which we abide in him, that we maintain this relationship of us being the creature to him who is the creator and supplier of all that is good in our lives. And it is one of those things that when we truly understand, that we understand how completely hopeless and helpless we are without him. And the statement that he made in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel about abiding in him, he tells you that without him, you can do nothing. There's no good work that you can do if God himself is not manifesting it through grace in you and by you and through you, because it's his work and it's you who are meant to cooperate with it. That's our part. So we need to see and get our eyes on the idea that for grace to come and abide with us, we just need to basically meditate, accept it, and allow it to come to us, and then just stay there in his presence. And that staying in his presence is merely how we cooperate with it and manifest it, not as our work, but as his work of righteousness being done through us. And in doing this, it makes the struggle against sin even more of a victory for us, because we're not the ones merely resisting the temptation. Because instead of resisting what we know we ought not to do, or to basically, as one guy tried to explain it, he's trying to give up this sin or that sin. It's not about giving up the sin. It's about apprehending, taking hold of the Savior Jesus Christ who is trying to work through us. It's the whole message of Paul in other parts of the scriptures, like in the book of Galatians, where he tells you that you need to see yourself as crucified with Christ. Because it's not that you're alive anymore, it's that Christ is living through you by faith. Yeah. I'm kind of paraphrasing Galatians 2:20, but that's kind of the basic thought here, is he's living through you. He's giving you this grace so that you're no longer using Romans 6 terminology under the law of sin and death. You're actually free to serve God by the law of love and the law of the Spirit, because we're following the Spirit daily in how we go about things. We're not following our own sinful desires. We're following God into these more free experiences of love that truly transforms us from the inside out. And this is the key of abiding in Christ. If we will only take the time to really listen to the voice of Jesus say the words in me, we'll understand that he's directing us to abide in him, in the sense of that being our place, that being where we really are trying to get to. Heaven is not so much an abstract reality to us. It's supposed to be something we experience today in how we relate to Jesus himself. And it is in this place of being in him that we find how much God really loves us and supplies for us at every moment. And it is a commandment to just basically live in love. If we are living in this union with God, we will experience constantly the love of God for us. We don't get burdened down by fear or despair. We just have this thought of how we abide in Jesus, and we're right there in a bright and joyous hope, as a minister once described it to me when he was trying to talk about heaven and the beatific vision, or the vision of God that we'll have for all eternity. It's that moment of fellowship where we really see him face to face. But it's something that we can have imparted to us by just coming unto him, because we're weak and heavy laden. And then we learn of him, we stay with him, we put ourselves as branches in that vine and just stay there. And it's how we truly become free and live under grace. Because when the soul becomes utterly passive to grace and rests completely on what Christ wants to work out in us, that it finally finds the stirring and the power and the ability to truly be holy, to live out the kind of good works that in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 that are described as being commanded unto us from the very beginning, from the earliest times. And that's how we as new creatures live. We live in this abiding. We live in the trying to borrow the Psalm 91 description of abiding under the shadow of the Most High, that's what it's all about. And it's not a passivity in the sense that we do nothing. We are passive in the sense that we cooperate with the grace. We don't hate from our hearts. We get away from the bitterness that rots away most souls, and we actually get freed up to be able to truly live the kind of life that's not bound by sin. In fact, the more that we follow after this particular perspective of understanding the connection between the work of Christ on the cross and the work of Christ in us, the apprehension of the being apprehended by Christ, that we're able to live a changed life. This is where true conversion and repentance really has its way with us, is when we stop seeing it as our struggle against sin, but we see it as our abiding in God, in Christ Jesus. And we understand all the connections of all the other scriptures that tell us to basically abide in Christ, to remain in Christ, and about how all of our blessings come from being in Christ. And for us who are Catholics, it really opens up for us a new dimension to what it is to truly receive communion, because we're really receiving the true body and blood of Christ at that moment and experiencing this impartation of grace that happens every time we are at Mass and are able to receive that sacrament without the blemish of sin in our hearts. And it also reminds us of the need for being circumspect, looking at ourselves and really going forward and experiencing the blessing of confession and the grace that comes from that. Because as we continue to really open our eyes and really see how we abide in Christ, we see that God is both mighty and faithful and basically imbues us with a glorious purpose, a purpose that makes him, God Almighty, our most glorious prize,
and we stop lusting and craving after the things of the world and things that pass away, but we really start getting a full assurance of who he is and truly experience what Augustine once wrote when he said that our hearts are restless until we find our place in him and find him in them. And that's what the new insight of grace is all about in the gospel, that Christ wants to take hold of us. And by us taking hold of him, we'll be able to overcome all the things in the world. It's something we have to cooperate with. And mortal sin itself can separate us from this channel of grace, which is why we really need to be plugged in and doing the things that we're required to do. When Paul talks about it in Philippians, what he wants to kind of give us an idea is kind of an idea of a father holding on to the hand of his child when they're going about doing something. I can remember being at a fireworks display with my dad at one of the 4th of July celebrations that happened at the St. Louis Arch. And afterwards, there was a big throng of people, and he just grabbed me by the hand and led me back toward the car. And the whole way through, we had all these people trying to get around us. But because I had Dad's hand, I was able to get through the crowd and not get lost and not get left behind. And that's kind of the picture, I think, if we're really honest, that we'll see from what Paul's trying to tell us about. The way that we get to this, the way we really understand this depth of love that Christ has for us, we must first fix the focus of our faith and get our spiritual eyes, as it were, kind of looking to him as the source of everything that we need. We need to desire nothing less than a true life of abiding in unbroken fellowship with the God who seeks to lift us up. Because if we see this as something we've already received and can continually receive every time we go to pray and to experience, especially in the sacrament of the Eucharist or communion, that we will experience this blessing grow in our lives. Because when we fix our attention and fix our focus on this and make this our spiritual gaze, we really experience heaven and the beatific vision that heaven is all about as a reality in our own daily lives today. It's something that really gives us the true substance of Christianity, not a mere hope of eternity, but an experience with God and eternity that is now. So this is where it is. And it's an almighty power of God that's available to us by grace. And it's something that we can lay a hold of now and really take with us as we go forward into our lives. Now, many of us don't understand what this gaze is all about, but it's a gaze of love. It's a focus of love. It's an attitude of trust in him. And it's something that just basically deepens as time goes on. Because if we really, truly love somebody, we keep them in our minds all the time. Think about that first love that a person has when they're in grade school or high school. That love just sticks with you forever, even if it's a puppy love. But as we get older, we experience love in a lot different ways, and we really, truly want to make that person happy. And it transforms us because there's an empowerment that comes through that love. And then when we turn that focus and get that love as a focus on God, and understand that God is love, that truly is a grace that transforms us and allows us to go deeper into more things than we could even ask or think, as the scripture tries to describe. So we need to keep our gaze, as it were, our spiritual gaze fixed on Christ and see him as somebody that holds us and waits to lift us up as long as we stay in his presence and experience the blessings that come from him. And I think we all need to have a little prayer that we just basically repeat from time to time, where we'll just say, oh Jesus, if you will just bid me and engage in me the grace that you have available by your death, burial, and resurrection, and that you will draw me by your love to always stay in your presence. I know that I can, no matter how timid that I am or unwilling I am at times, find the way to truly trust in you and truly abide as your servant. Because this is a prayer that we really need to experience in our heart. So my fellow believer, I want to kind of encourage you to take some time alone today with Jesus to really reflect on his magnificence as a branch that's able to supply to you grace every minute of the day and truly give you victory over anything that you need victory over, whether it be sin, temptation, or just merely getting the right attitude. Because if we'll yield ourselves to him in this way and surrender our desires in love to him, we will find out that we're not dying in a real sense. We may be dying to self, but we're really coming alive for him. And he himself will work out in us all that we can trust and abide in him to have him do. And this is what the real blessing of being a Christian is. And if you ever have doubts arise again about whether or not you're able to truly do this and truly be holy, you need to understand that it's not just you apprehending or fixing your focus on Jesus, but he's also fixed and focused on you. He is interceding for you because he wants you to be prepared for every good work that he himself begins to work in you from the moment of your baptism till today. So we also need to be like Paul and follow after to pursue those things that are deeper in Jesus by realizing that we need to first fix our gaze on Jesus and then see in that gaze how he fixes and takes hold of us so that we remain and abide completely in him. Thank you and hope you have a great day. And once again, please support this podcast and continue to abide in Christ. Amen.